Yo, yo, what is going on, everyone? It is a new year in an all new season of the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer III, and this show is all about the world of NASCAR, the three base divisions in all of Motorsports Capable Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series of three base divisions in all of Motorsports. And this is the opening episode of the new year. Kind of going to be shortening up for you here this evening and towards the end of the podcast here today. Here tonight, it will be, I'll take a look at the wild card games here for you guys this evening as we about to start the playoffs in the NFL side. And of course, with the calendar year changing and all that, we also are closing in on the Super Bowl, not the NFL Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl of racing, the Daytona 500, which is about 44 days away now. And yes, I'm coming off a little bit of a head cold, but my voice sounds all right. And we're about to get going here in the brand new year, brand new season of the EG3 show. Thank you, EG3ers out there, for tuning in tonight. And of course, bringing you up to speed on the EG3 show. We've been on the air for, I'll probably say, 4 years now. Coming off of the KCSports.com JPEG Sports Radio Network, which we all decided to shut it down after busyness in our schedule. It is no more, but the EG3 show will roll on, and all thoughts and opinions are based on my own opinions only, and I'm going to continue to do this podcast unless something comes abroad or some deal comes. But hey, I'm back, EG3. Yes, I'm still a little under the weather here this evening, but I come on to bring you a special podcast, and it's the opener of the 2018 season here with you guys. And a thank you once again for tuning in tonight. But hey, let's just get down to what we've been all missing here over the past 2 weeks. Hopefully you guys, everyone had a great new year, great Christmas season. And yes, things are ramping up here slowly here as the offseason continues in the NASCAR side. Well, the NFL prepares for their playoffs here tomorrow, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, the national championship. I'll also talk about that here on the second half of the very short podcast than normal. Of course, all podcasts I've been doing here, again, another overview. It has been an hour or so. And now with the movement of my podcast, I can do it from range of a half hour to an hour. But I still plan on keeping the hour, normal hour of the podcast for race weekends and other things like that. But yes, things have been going on in the NASCAR world. Let's just jump on into that here on a special night here tonight of the EG3 Show podcast. Starting with Stewart Haas Racing, they raised the banner here this week as they are about to enter their 10th season full-time in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, of course. Started back in the day where Tony Stewart, 10 years ago, started this company and also won the championship back then. And since then, they've added another championship with Kevin Harvick, and of course last year's Daytona 500 winner, Kurt Busch. So 10th season, their 10th year, and they'll be celebrating that throughout the season. So Stewart Haas Racing now with Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, Kurt Busch, and newly acquainted driver Eric Almirola will lead the charge here to see if they can get back to the postseason and compete once again for another championship. Also, Eric Jones, ladies and gentlemen, he was in the news, but on different reasons. one of the rappers had him in a song, or what was in a song. I guess I want to say it's Lil B, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But he predicted Eric Jones would have a great year and possibly contend for a championship. And why not? I mean, yes, coming off the one and done season in a 77 5-hour energy Toyota for Furniture Racing, had a really stellar second half to the year, but he was plagued by a lot of bad luck. And being get over that bad luck with Joe Gibbs Racing, I think he's going to be a real factor. I think he's been putting, in my opinion, he, and I was thinking about this preparing for the show here tonight, I think he, Eric Jones, and Daniel Suarez been put to the back burner, to the back seat a little bit with these guys coming into the sport. Mainly, of course, William Byron, of course, Chase Elliott has been the headliner all offseason long. Of course, coming off his outstanding performance in the postseason, and why not? Chase Elliott still hasn't had that win yet, as he's about to enter into season 3. If all these guys, all these moving parts, you know, William Byron moving up his fast track to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. You have Alex Bowman taking over Dale Jr.'s ride. All this other stuff. And I think Eric Jones has been put behind the back burner a little bit. And I wouldn't, you know, with that 20 performance towards the end of the year, where Matt Kenseth, of course, that emotional victory at Phoenix a couple months ago, that 20 team performed really, really well at the end of the year. We'll see how that momentum carries into this year, but I really expect Eric Jones to be a contender for these races this year. So watch out for that 20, of course, 77 to the 20, and he still has his crew chief from last year, Chris Gale, be with him calling the shots top of the pit box. So that's just my opinion for the way I see it. Eric Jones could definitely be a player in the 2018 season. Kyle Larson celebrated his holiday season all the way across the waters in New Zealand. Of course, Kyle Larson was in the news around Christmas time, where he and his longtime girlfriend are now engaged, Caitlin, who, of course, Owen, their son as well. So they finally make it official here last year, going into this year. And already Kyle Larson, the way I read it earlier, already won 2 midget races. That's what he's doing over there in New Zealand, racing those cars. And of course, you know by now, Kyle Larson, you know, he'll get in anything and race them, and he's a pretty talented dirt racer as well. But Kyle Larson already winning 2 races over there at New Zealand. No timetable when he's going to come back, well, obviously. But, of course, Kyle Larson doing his thing there and staying with Ganassi Racing. It was announced in the beginning of the week that Doug Ducart, that name's familiar. Why? Because he's been with the successful Hendrick Motorsports. Well, he signed a contract over now to the other Chevy team with Ganassi Racing, doing improve several areas of their program. And you know, based off last year, of course, both teams made the playoffs last year. Jamie McMurray, Kyle Larson basically having his breakout year with 4 more wins last year. McMurray continues to be consistent in his performance as well. Still hasn't reached victory lane in a few seasons, but with the addition of Ducart now, we'll see if they can maintain or possibly even elevate their performance. But the one question that remains to be seen, and we won't know really until this hits their new body hits the track in Daytona, but better yet, when we see this Camaro on a mile and a half track in Atlanta, Las Vegas, you got Martinsville, all those tracks, short tracks. The first half of the season is going to be key. Why? Because of a new body. And it took Ford a while for their new bodies to get going, especially with Stuart Haas Racing, Penske Racing, and you throw in Wood Brothers as well. And Kevin Harvick really upped their performance in the postseason last year. So a lot of question marks will be answered. We can't really predict anything until we see that Camaro on the racetrack at Daytona. And of course, they've harped about downforce and trying to catch the Toyotas, who also had a new body go down last season, and pretty much results are pretty much staggering at that. They won over half the races last year. So Chevrolet's got some catching up to do. Ford, they stick with the same thing, the same nose as well. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out as here we get going here in preparations for the 2018 season. But yes, Doug Ducart now with Ganassi Racing, and it can only get better from there, keeping one of the more heritage drivers in the sport right now, that and Kyle Larson. A lot of aspirations for that team here, what they did last year, as they hope to contend here once again this season. Moving on to the Penske side, where Joey Logano, Joey and Brittany had their first child come into the world, a baby boy, just a couple of days ago. Congratulations. And no, I do not know the name of the boy yet. I'll definitely know here soon for you guys, but for now, God made this. From Joey Logano's eyes on Twitter, God gave us a miracle last night, quote unquote, and Joey and Brittany have their baby boy, so they welcome him into the world yesterday, and I'll have that name soon enough. So congratulations to the Loganos. And I mentioned on the final podcast of the year a couple weeks ago that three idiots try to break into Richard Childress' home. Well, and I told you we'll bring you up to speed as soon as I have more information. Well, I do have that information for you guys. They were the three guys that were charged. They were all, most of them, well, two of them were only 18 years old, and the other one was 20. They were all charged for battery this week. So, arrested and charged for battery. Those names include, excuse me, Niquan Victorian, Chantez Hines, and Amika Spinks, all involved in that mess there in that episode with Richard Childress trying to break into his home for whatever reason. That is very, very stupid at that age to do that. So, but glad justice was handled this week in that situation, and glad Richard Childress, his wife, and everything else is all right. So, yes, that brought the hammer down on those three guys. For that, you're listening to the EG3 show. My name is Eddie Greer III. Of course, the EG3 show for you guys, if you just tune in. Of course, brought over from jpegsports.com, kcsportsradio.com, live stream as well. But that all is, that book is closed in the EG3 show, rolling solo, continuing to do it as long as it lets me do it. Love to do the show, and this is the first pod episode of the new year. Glad you can join us here this evening for kind of a half hour edition tonight. And of course, I will still keep the main episodes over an hour, or I should say just an hour, excuse me, an hour of all the race recaps, biggest news from all three divisions, including the Xfinity Series and the Camping World Truck Series. And, of course, Ralph's Fenway Racing transitioning back to some of the news from the last couple of weeks. Ralph's Fenway Racing sold their other charter to Penske. Of course, Ryan Blaney running the 12 car for Penske Racing, and their new car, well, a familiar number, but a new car in the Cup Series as they extend their team to three-car operation. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and Ryan Blaney. And, of course, remember Greg Biffle in that ride, in that 16 ride, no more. So, of course, Ralph's Fenway Racing has Trevor Bayne and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So there is that update there. So no need to worry to qualify on speed for that team. They're the 12 team of Ryan Blaney. And yes, excuse me, I've been under the weather here a little bit this week, but thank you for bearing in with me here tonight so far. And so, kind of the driver tracker here real quick before we transition to football here for the last half of the episode here tonight on this season opener. Jim McMurray, everything stays the same here. You look down here, of course, the numbers for Chase Elliott change from the 24 to the 9. You have Eric Amarola in the 10 for Stuart Haas, as I mentioned earlier. And, of course, just a few moments ago, Ryan Blaney to the 12 of Team Penske. Ty Dillon stays the same, but he has a new crew chief in Matt Borland. Clint Boyer coming back to the 14. Then Daniel Suarez here, who posted 8 of 12 top 10s in the second half of the year. Again, I mentioned him with the same sentence as Eric Jones. I think everybody has put him on the back burner here a little bit. With all this talent and all the movement coming in, I wouldn't overlook this squad. Of course, there's Eric Jones there. Another move that was kind of surprising during silly season was Paul Menard going over to the 21 machine for the Wood Brothers. So, again, that's a stellar ride. And the Wood Brothers, remember, they still need victory 100. So, Paul Menard only has that elusive one victory so far in his Cup career. He's going to do a lot better than that, of course. William Byron to the 24, to Jeff Gordon, number fame now. Byron's fast track as he looks complete the triple threat of rookie of the year. Of course, Byron coming off the Xfinity Series Championship. Matt Dennebeno returning to Go Fast Racing. And yes, he is the quote-unquote social media favorite, as always, on Twitter. Of course, Darrell Wallace Jr., Big Bubba, going to the 43. That's been news, big news here in the offseason as well. Making some more history. So definitely intrigued to see what Bubba's going to do in a full-time season for RPM. And, of course, H.G. Amendinger, Jimmy Johnson closing in on Darrell Waltrip and Davey Allison on the win list. Then you have the defending Monster Energy Series Cup champ Martin Truex Jr. trying to do it again. And Alex Bowman taking over the fame ride 88 of Dale Earnhardt Jr. And, of course, Casey Kane taking over the ride of Michael McDowell for Levine Family Racing. That is also going to be really interesting to watch as they gain a new sponsor as well. Michael McDowell, David Reagan, their numbers have not been announced, but they'll be teaming up together, as I talked about a couple weeks ago, with Front Row Motorsports. That's kind of a quick rundown of all the driver tracker movements going on into this season, folks. So, again, time, day in, day out goes by as we get ready here for Speed Weeks here next month. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now time to talk some football here a little bit. And yes, if you watched any college football first, with the college football playoff, yes, there's been a lot of controversy and still is controversy going on with how this format is set up. And definitely UCF knocked off Auburn to complete the undefeated season, which was awesome. Yes, and that was one of my schools, choices of schools to go to a few years ago, kind of way back then, but that was one of the choices. But UCF, you know, will lose their head coach, Scott Frost, now, who has started the transition to Nebraska. That was kind of an interesting move there as well. Normally, you see that coach hired and start the recruiting process right off the bat and leave the organization. But Scott Frost did what many coaches would not do, is coach the bowl game. And not only that, knock off a high-powered SEC team in Auburn. And now they're kind of disputed national champions. They're going to hold their own parade. I don't know what day it's going to be, but kind of awesome to see that from a guy who grew up in Georgia and Florida. Very awesome to see that. Georgia, Alabama, Georgia, my dogs, tell me, big over OU. That was a hell of a game there to watch, especially all the tactics going on there. You know, Baker Mayfield and his, whatever he's trying to do, you know, trying to intimidate Georgia or whatnot. But the end of the two overtimes, Georgia, the block, gets the block field goal, which hopefully is a good, could be a nice trend for the Falcons here tomorrow night. Georgia gets the block field goal, and Sonny Michel runs it in for the game winner in double overtime to win it and to put them in an all-SEC championship / national championship with the Crimson Tide of Alabama once again. And Alabama, for, you know, coming into that game with Clemson, yeah, I thought Clemson, I definitely agree with Joe Klatt. I definitely think Clemson laid a complete egg over Alabama. And yes, you know, this was part three of the trilogy, a thrilling trilogy at that. And part three was a dud, in my opinion. Alabama had a purpose going in there, and they took it to Kelly Bryant Clemson. And yes, that interception in the third quarter, Kelly Bryant, with Clemson moving, that was a game changer. And that's going to be the EG3 game changer of the week. Kelly Bryant, that offense moving, have kind of a little bit of the momentum there to start. And then all goes kaboom with the big man getting the interception. And then the horse car attacker tackle penalty after the fact really changed the momentum of that game. And Clemson, they didn't really show up to play. There, Alabama was pissed, and you knew that going in. There's really no excuse. You, going in there, you had a month to prepare. You knew the situation, and yet Clemson goes out there and drops the egg. And Kelly Bryant did not play well at all. Alabama rolled right through the Tigers, and now Alabama, Nick Saban's going to get another shot at a title against Georgia, and this might as well should be SEC Championship Part 2, the National Championship Edition. That's what everybody should call it. Because Georgia beat not Alabama. Georgia knocked off Auburn a month ago, and now in the SEC Championship, and now you're going to get the other Alabama team in their rich history. Alabama Crimson Tide, Jalen Hurts gets another opportunity to try to grab a national championship and try to silence the haters. That's been really been on his case since last year, really. But Georgia, for them, they have an opportunity to sweep, not only sweep Alabama teams, but be champions of the college football world. Monday night is going to go down in the Benz, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's going to be quite a scene. And if Georgia pulls it off, they'll have beaten Auburn and Alabama at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's something to think about. But yeah, all attention, yes, on the famed Alabama right now. As they go, they probably ESPN probably rooting for Alabama to win this championship. No love for the Georgia teams right now in football. No love shown to the Bulldogs, really, or to the Falcons at all. It's literally us against the entire world here this weekend. And for the Falcons, they have opportunity. This is the opportunity, really, to make a statement. I'll talk about that game here momentarily. But yes, Georgia, Alabama going down Monday night for the national championship for all the marbles to be champions of the college football world. It's going to be a fun game. Hopefully, it will be. Hopefully, not this Alabama domination stuff that's been seen for quite some time. Nick Saban and that coaching staff, they bring the talent each and every year. But Georgia, they're going to have to come out and play their best game. Jake Fromm's going to have to do his thing. If they're going to come out as champs, he's going to have to play. I think he is the key for Georgia to knock off Alabama Monday night. Jake Fromm is going to have to do what he did against OU, and that's stay poised and play like a veteran. He definitely looked like a junior or senior out there in the Rose Bowl. What a great win for the Georgia Bulldogs. All right, wild card weekend beginning tomorrow. And I'm going to start with the Sunday games. First, Buffalo, Jacksonville. Yes, Buffalo basically got some help, won, and got help. And this is one of the great stories so far of the early year. Buffalo getting in after some 20 years of not getting the playoffs. They have a gift. They have to go down to Duval County, like Cole Wright says, play the Jacksonville Jaguars. If the Falcons were to fall tomorrow night or sometime in the postseason, if they were to lose to the Rams or another team down the line somewhere, this is the team I'm going to go with, obviously, because I lived in Florida for the second half of my upbringing. And yes, I rooted for the Jaguars, so that would be the go-to team here. And the Buffalo Bills, it's been a wonderful story, you know, all this stuff, you know, the diehard fans. This has been one of the bright stories already this year, but without the Shady in the Jaguars defense this year with a complete 360 turnaround, I don't think so. I think Tyrod Taylor, you know, they're walking into a hungry full of Jaguars with that defense. A.J. Bouye, Darius, Calais Campbell, Tevin Smith. That group has been outstanding getting to the quarterback. And yes, Tyrod Taylor is a different kind of quarterback. But looking at this matchup, I think, yes, it's going to come down to the quarterbacks. Blake Bortles cannot go back to the old Blake Bortles. I mean, throwing it to the other team, interceptions, being stupid with the football. He's got to be smart with it. You got a good running game with Leonard Fournette. That's what you draft them for. That's what they've been saying all along. We get in the playoffs, we want to control tempo, and they have an opportunity at home, a revamped home stadium. I got to go with the Jaguars. I'm sorry on this one. It's been a great story, you know. Bills got help from the Bengals and all that other stuff. Bengals knocked out the Ravens on a fourth down pass. That was an exciting finish there. And jubilation around Buffalo, around that locker room. But I think Jacksonville, their defense is revamped and pretty damn good at that. Then they come out on top and they'll advance. And possibly could see Pittsburgh again in Pittsburgh. That, you know, Ben Roethlisberger said he wants Jacksonville again. Well, be careful what you wish for, dog. Jacksonville will they gotta take care of business against Buffalo. No Shady. That's their chance right there. You got at home in the playoffs, you gotta protect your home field. That's what it's always been down to. But you see these instances in the playoffs where the road team comes up in there and wins. Not in this situation. I think the Jaguars take care of business against the Bills Sunday afternoon. And then a late game is Carolina, New Orleans. Talk about Thrillogy. This is part three of this season's matchup between the Panthers and the Saints. And the Saints have won both matchups. And the last time these two teams met was in New Orleans. And they're back there again a couple of weeks later. And the way that Carolina got handled there by the Falcons there in Week 17, and you have a hungry fan base in the Superdome, it's going to be loud. You know it. You know that great quarterback matchup, Cam Newton versus Drew Brees. That's a great matchup. But the matchup everyone's talking about, yes, the running backs in that Panther D, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, they have been the story of the Saints season with a controlled running game, and Drew Brees still slinging around. Not as much as we've seen in the last probably 3 or 4 years, but that running game and an improved Saints defense led by Marshawn Lattimore in that group. I think New Orleans, as much as it's tough to beat a team the second time, it's definitely difficult to beat a team three times in a year. I just think Saints, everyone's saying Saints is the best opportunity to go back to Super Bowl is this year, and I guess why not, right? So, but all said and done here, this is a great matchup, NFC South playoff edition. It's hard for me to pick the Panthers on this one. I got to go with the Saints on this one. I think this is going to be a much more four-quarter game than the last one. Panthers are going to make their adjustments here, but I think Alvin Kamara, being the difference maker that he is going to be a big factor. The Panthers couldn't really contain him and limiting the big plays is going to be key for the Panthers. You're going to have a chance to win, but I will have to roll with the Saints. We'll get the sweep on the final game of Wild Card Weekend. And then you fast forward to tomorrow night's Wild Card action. You got the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the last time the Titans played Arrowhead, they knocked off the Chiefs with a late field goal to win it. They've been the Chiefs' kryptonite here the last two times in Arrowhead, but this is a different scenario situation. No, it looks like they do not have DeMarco Murray for this matchup. And Marcus Mariota, first playoff appearance against this crowd, outdoor crowd, loudest probably in the NFL, and the Chiefs, and Alex Smith taking more shots downfield, of course, with a home run hitter, and Tyreek Hill. You're listening to the EG3 Show here. Just a few more minutes left on tonight's special edition, the first of the new year, Eddie Greenhouse with y'all here this evening. Back to the matchup, Tyreek Hill and company, but I kind of went back and forth on this one a little bit, but the home field advantage and that stingy, stifling defense of the Chiefs is going to be a big difference in this game. And again, we all talk about rematches. Everyone wants to see the Chiefs and Patriots again. Round two in New England. Chiefs handled the Patriots in the beginning, in the season opener of the NFL this year. We all remember what happened there. And I think, you know, the Titans walking in here, of course, 9-7, beating the Jaguars, you know, that other stuff. This is going to be a tough game for the Titans, I think. I think the Chiefs, with that experience, with Alex Smith at quarterback, Travis Kelce, and, of course, another running back to be mentioned in this, Kareem Hunt, put himself in the scene at New England this year. Think, keeping the theme of running backs here tonight, I think he's going to be a difference maker for them. Of course, Derrick Henry's on the other side. He's going to get a bulk of carries for the Titans, but haven't seen much of the Titans this year to even go with them. So I'm going with the Chiefs to win this game and to advance into play, and to go up there for Tom Brady again in the following week. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think Chiefs, I think it's just too much with that crowd and everything else. It'll be a huge upset if Titans go in there and win in a playoff, quote-unquote playoff atmosphere, but that crowd and the temperatures, the way they have been up here this week, I got to roll with the Chiefs against Titans on that one. And the final one, of course, the night capper, is going to be a terrific matchup. Of course, my Falcons got to travel to L.A. to take on the Los Angeles Rams. And everyone has been on the Rams' butt here this week. You know, everyone wants to see the Rams advance. Yes, they have the highest scoring offense in all National Football League going in this matchup. But, you know, saying if the Falcons' defense had its defense from last year, we wouldn't be in the playoffs, not only mentioned to make it, but they had this defense, like last year, improved, and they were one of the main reasons, even though they had a statistically bad last year, the reason they made the playoffs because they got stops, got turnovers on the other end of the football, on the defense side of football, they got turnovers, and it capitalized on them. That's what the difference was there, even with the high power offense, with, of course, Matt Free, Julio, Sanu, all those weapons on the other side of the ball. You turn the table to this year. Yes, I talked to someone about it, and I said the Falcons, they're going to be a little slow on offense to begin with the new coordinator, but things did pick up with Sarkisian finally seeing the light, and he's done a great job in the second half of the year, especially over the last month and a half, calling them plays. It's just going to be down to execution. This is what this game is all about. You know, you can do all this talking, you can play the game on paper, but you can't play the game on paper. You got to play on the field, all other stuff. You know, Aaron Donald, he's just one guy. Yes, he's dominant, but it's going to take that entire defense to slow him down, just like on the other side. It's going to take a full collective effort to get the job done on the other side for the Falcons. They're going to win this game. But, man, I got to say, man, a lot of people are picking against them. They picked against them really from the top of the year all season long. You know, nobody even picked the Falcons really. This is house money, in my opinion, for Atlanta to go over there and get a victory. And I think, you know, everyone says the Rams are dangerous. Everyone's saying the Saints are dangerous. you know, if Atlanta, this is a second opportunity now. New season, the playoffs, this is a tremendous opportunity for both teams to make a statement here. The Rams are green going into the postseason, trying to win at the Coliseum. Well, they play at the Coliseum, but trying to make a statement that they are ready for their moment in the sunshine, in under lights, in primetime on NBC. But the flip side, the Falcons, they look, this is a statement game for them as well. Why? Because they can go to the Coliseum tomorrow night to beat the Rams. They're going to put the NFC on notice, in my opinion. That's the way I see it, because pretty much probably 85% of the country didn't have the Falcons go to the playoffs, and yet they're the only NFC team to return to the playoffs from last year. So again, for me, in this game, it's going to be a turnover battle here. Will be a big difference maker for one of these teams. I got to say, man, with the way the Falcons play this year, I'm not going against my Falcons. How can I do that? So I got, obviously, the Falcons going over the Rams in a great game and beating them in the famed Coliseum. Yes, the Rams look different than they were on paper than they were last year. Definitely credit to Sean McVay and that entire coaching staff. And McVay's, you know, the offensive mind that he is. But this is Atlanta 2.0. If they're Atlanta's original, the Rams are 2.0. So I'm sure the Falcons defense have seen a lot of their own offense. It could help. But I think turnovers and the way that they gobbled up turnovers, Falcons defense last week, they're going to need some turnovers here, create some turnovers to get the edge here. And I think the Falcons can go in here. You know, they can play up to their capabilities. And we've seen it in spurts all year long. And sometimes we've seen it on the, especially offensive side of the ball, that they have not looked very good, and this is not time to be doing that. So with all that experience, you know, experience for inexperience, whatnot, all that gets thrown to the tape, all that gets thrown in the garbage tonight, or tomorrow night, excuse me. All that those is thrown in the garbage, and you gotta play the game in the Coliseum. So we'll see what happens. But basically, yeah, everyone's been on the Rams, but pick this game. Everyone sees somebody fresh win, and to me, if Falcons play what they're capable of, put an entire game together, this is the time to do it. Against a very talented Rams team, I think they can do it. Rise up all the way, no matter what, no matter if they don't go to playoffs or not. Got to ride with them. Atlanta goes in there and gets the job done and knocks the Rams out. And we'll see what happens, though, but it's going to be a good game. But I think the key of all this, which team can get turnover margin and can take advantage of it. So that is the wild card edition. Chiefs, Falcons, Jaguars, Saints, my picks for wild card weekend here coming up beginning tomorrow afternoon. And ladies and gentlemen, number of the week before I wrap up the podcast here tonight. And let's see, I got to go down all the way down to my sheet. Find my arrow here. Number of the week. Besides Clint Boyer, I was very high on him. If you listen to the podcast really all year last year, you would know I was really on the Clint Boyer train last year. And Clint Boyer had a good second half of the year, but yet the biggest thing here, he did not reach victory lane. I had him go to the playoffs, which I'm going to do another prediction show on who's going to go to the playoffs this year and who's not. But Boyer missed the playoffs and missed out on victory lane. He's winless. And we talked about Ryan Newman's winless streak last year of over 100-some races. This is going over 150 and more. Clint Boyer, winless. Since his last win in 185 starts. Think about that. Woo! That is a couple years of frustration there. And he and Mike Bukaravich got to figure some stuff out here this year. You have amazing teammates, and there's really no reason why in year two he puts that 14 car in victory lane and gets him back to the playoffs. Again, remember Clint Boyer was a runner-up to champion Brad Keselowski a couple years ago, and with that equipment here year two, should see some more of improvement again from Clint Bowyer. But yes, that's been the biggest mark here. Bowyer winless in 185 starts. I will leave you with that here tonight on the number of the week on the EG3 show, right? So there you go on that. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap things up tonight here on the EG3 show. I'm Eddie Greer saying thank you for tuning in tonight here. And always, you can catch the EG3 show on Facebook, facebook.com/EG3 show. And Twitter at the EG3_show. And yes, the title is different on our Audio Boom page. It's 3 wide with EG3. Yes, I should have just stuck with the EG3 show part. They're getting people confused. Yes, but all the episodes of the EG3 show, as usual, will go under that file. Look for the our Audio Boom page as well. And we could be getting something, another edition with Spotify. Not sure about that yet, but we're working on things to extend our podcast as well to our listeners out there. But once again, thank you guys for tuning in to the podcast here tonight, our first one of 2018. We're some 40 days out from the Daytona 500. Big weekend of football here this weekend. Of course, national championship Monday night, Georgia Bulldogs against the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's going to go down, folks. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next time on the EG3 show.